Hello and welcome to the Flix Forum podcast, where each episode we usually go back and look at a Netflix original film in the order of release. However, today we have a very special bonus episode where we are discussing Netflix 2024 recent film, the epic space opera Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver. This one is directed by Zack Snyder. It stars Sophia Boutella, Jimon Hounsou, Ed Skrein, Michelle Hoosman, Duna Bay, Ray Fisher, Staz Nair, Frey Fee, Elise Duffy, Charlotte Maggi, Stuart Martin, Carrie Elves, and Anthony Hopkins. I'm Jesse, I'm your host. Welcome. I did do a part one episode of this last week, so if you haven't seen Rebel Moon part one or you haven't seen Rebel Moon part two, give us a pause and come back a little bit later on, because this will probably make no sense whatsoever if you haven't seen the films. As always, spoilers, just keep an eye on that, because I will spoil parts of this film if you don't want it spoiled for you. But we do start our show with the Fast Flix, where we do a quick little summary of what the film is all about. So this one, it's about a bunch of villagers who band together to protect their land with a little help from some warriors. And this is all obviously the lead up from the first one. This is the conclusion to the first structure of Rebel Moon story, I guess. The story behind Netflix, I mean, if you really want the, and because obviously part one and part two were filmed together, so a lot of the context behind the film, if you listen to the bonus episode on Rebel Moon part one, you're probably going to get that. So a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, give that a listen. Other than that, I guess we can sort of talk about, you know, in a week, how has this film gone on Netflix? I guess that background too is that, you know, this film, the second one, Scargiver, was announced as the final installment of a two-part saga, with new films announced to be in development as well. So of April this year, there's an R-rated director's cut that's coming out later this year for part one and part two. And also this month in April of 2024, the co-writer Kurt Johnstadt announced that though original plans were for a trilogy of movies, the franchise will eventually consist of a total of 6 films, explaining that the stories for each original installment have been expanded into 2 parts. So it looks like they're going to split all the films up. The writer stated then that the treatments are completed for the 3rd and 4th movie, and Snyder is currently writing the 3rd film. On the same day, Snyder also came out and said that the total number of films in the series will either be 4 or 6, depending on whether or not the 2nd and 3rd entries of the trilogy each get split into the 2 parts as well. So sort of confirming they're aiming to split all these films into 2 parts now. This did release on Netflix on the 19th of April, 2024. And I guess we sort of look at viewership of this second part. After the 19th of April, the film gathered 21.4 million views in the first 3 days. So this made it the most viewed Netflix original English language film from the 15th of April to the 21st. It was the 3rd consecutive Netflix number one for Zack Snyder, starting with Army of the Dead and continuing with the first part of this film as well. However, it only had 44.2 million viewership hours, which is a big decline from part one, which had 54.1 in its first 3 days. So a little bit down on the first one. I guess you're going to expect that at times with a sequel. Take what you want from this quote from Snyder, but he said, say right now, part one, so part one of Rebel Moon, it's like almost 90 million views. So 80 or 90 million accounts on Netflix turned it on, give or take, he told Rogan on his podcast. So they assumed two viewers per screen, so that's 160 million people supposedly watching. That's $10 a ticket, that's $1.6 billion. I don't know where he's getting his math from. More people probably saw Rebel Moon than Barbie in the theater, he said. That's how crazy Netflix is. That's the distribution model that they've set up. Very interesting take from Snyder. I don't think that this film or the original first part was seen by more people than Barbie, but a funny little thing for him to say. As sort of mentioned, this hit Netflix on the 19th of April, 2024. The budget was shared with part one of $166 million filmed across California. Translations around the world. What does that translate into? So obviously Rebel Moon part two in Spanish, it's called The Warrior Who Leaves Marks. Not bad. It's a very extended way of saying Scargiver. In Chinese, it's called The Branded Ones. Not bad. Don't mind that one. French, it's called The Slasher. Hungarian, it's called The Wounder. In Polish, it's called Dealing Wounds. In Russian, it's called Scarred by Scars. Horrible. Turkish, it's called Trailblazer. Don't know where that comes from. And Vietnamese, it's called Scar Crower. Interesting. A good bunch of different titles across the world. What are the critics and audiences saying about this film? So on Rotten Tomatoes, it's on 15%. That's on 92 reviews. So definitely rotten. I think the first one was 21%. So even less than that. Audience has this one at 51%. That's on over 1,000 ratings a week later. IMDb, 5.2 out of 10 on 28,000 ratings. So not a lot of people gone on there to rate this one yet. Letterboxd, super low, a 1.9 out of 5 on 20,500 ratings. Been logged by 34,000 people. And then Metacritic, 35 out of 100. That's on 26 critic reviews. On that traffic light system of red, yellow, or green, that is definitely red. Audience has it a little bit higher at a 4.9 out of 10 on 175 reviews. So that's yellow on that traffic light system. So overall, everyone thinks this film is ordinary. What are my early thoughts? I guess I was surprised with the first one. So I came into this one now with expectations of enjoying it. Unfortunately, it's not that great. There's too many awkward moments with little progression, I guess, in the story of the world, which I really enjoyed in the first one. And there's too much left up in the air for this one. So that was a bit of a struggle. The characters. Let's talk about the characters. So, you know, we spoke about all the characters in the first episode for this anyway, but we'll sort of check in, I guess, where they're at. So Cora, we know that she's a former soldier. We know that she's charged with assassinating the royal family. She gathers all these warriors from across the galaxy to help fight. And I guess it's sort of revealed that, and I spoke about this last time, that brainwashing that she had, she was backstabbed and let out to dry in this assassination or this coup that occurred. So we set out in a flashback. Titus, this general who we saw was a drunk in the first one, and he's still a drunk in this one. That's about all for him. Atticus Noble, he's the bad guy. He obviously survives at the end of the last film. I'm very sensible. It doesn't get through the end of this one. Gunnar is like a farmer who, you know, was secretly in love with Cora. It's very clear that it's no longer secretly in love. It's very in your face that those two are into each other. Tarek is this nobleman sort of turned blacksmith who we saw in the first film. He could bond with animals. This whole bonding with animals in the first film meant nothing, as we saw nothing of it in this second film. So that was a waste of time in the first film. We see Devra, Darian's sister. So Darian, he died in the first one, and she didn't join the group in this one. So it was predicted by me that, you know, she was going to come back in part two. She rocks up with 2 minutes to go. Very nothing role. Den is this local farmer that we saw, you know, sort of there was a connection between him and Cora in the first one. He dies in this. It sort of felt like a no-stakes death. It was like, yeah, cool, get rid of him. We don't really care. Milius, she's this rebel fighter who sort of joined the crew with Devra and her brother. A lot more screen time in this one, but I couldn't help but feel she just felt like a complete loser. This whole film, really frustrating. And then Aris, this is that soldier who sort of stood up when all those guys were sort of attacking Sam in the homeland. We see that he sort of hung around to help her out, and he's sort of falling for her as well. And then Sam, obviously, she's in this tricky situation because that robot that's played by Anthony Hopkins, I think he's pretty keen on her too. So we might have to see a fight between the robot and Aris in the third one. Zack Snyder, we spoke about him last time. Obviously, this is his third original Netflix film after Army of the Dead and Rebel Moon Part 1. Everyone knows his other stuff that he's done. So check out episode 1 if you want to hear a further discussion on that. Scenes. What are some scenes that stood out? There's a flashback with Cora where it sort of shows how she was set up to take the fall for that royal family assassination. I thought that was really good, except for there's these shots of these musicians all sitting there and dressed in black playing strings. It was just such bad foreboding. That was weird. Nemesis, our sort of martial arts cyborg sword master lady, her connection that she has with this little boy, this farmer boy, I guess, would be how you put him. I thought that, you know, that was really good. Sort of gave us some backstory on that she's got a robotic arm and sort of some closure for her as a character in that we knew she'd lost her own kid. So I didn't mind that little story. And the whole concluding battle, I mean, you got to say it was visually exciting towards the end. So that was well put together. What are some things I didn't like, though? There's a couple of things. Gunnar and Cora. Like, yes, it was obvious in the first one that they were going to end up together, but the dialogue between them is woeful. Gunnar tells Cora that, you know, I was scared. And she's like, well, if you weren't scared of death, what are you afraid of? What was it? And he's like, losing you. And then they kiss. So bad. Aris and Sam, every time they looked at each other, it was like this sexual tension look. That was annoying. The harvesting. I know everyone talks about the harvesting and the working in the field in this film. Wow, like so much time was given to that in slow-mo and all different sorts of cutting crops. I know they spent a lot of time growing those crops themselves, but man, such a waste of time. The villagers, they have this big feast where they give gifts to the people, the warriors coming for their gratitude. Just so corny. Probably a little bit punny there too. Titus, when they're at this feast, he's just like staring at this big piece of meat that's like rotating, and then he just breaks into like a hymn or a song. That was laughable. And then Titus again, poor Titus, he leads, they're all the warriors are sitting there ready for battle, and he's like, cool, I'm gonna lead some confessions, and we're gonna talk about, you know, why we're fighting. The flashbacks were good. They were well put together, but please, this was so lame and just took up a huge chunk of the film that didn't actually account for anything. Korra and the robot, they have this chat behind the waterfall. It's just weird. And then he finishes off with like, you can't win, and then just goes. That was weird. Noble, all his ships, they all arrive to attack the villagers. The amount of military fight or might that they brought with them, it was ridiculous to think that the villagers could win. That was horrible. Towards the end, we get like lightsabers that come out. Like, that was just a bit too much for me. It's like, cool, we're going to pay homage to Star Wars and all these other sci-fi things. And then they literally rip out these lightsabers. That was bad. And finally, Gunner, in Korra's arms at the end, he's dying. And he's like, why can't I have this one thing, meaning her, before he dies? Oh, God, some woeful stuff in there. Themes, ideas. I mean, a lot of the stuff from the first one holds over. But I tried a couple of different things. That idea of standing together, trusting each other, fighting for something that means something to you. Obviously, through the massive amounts of scenes that we saw of the grain and the fields, like that connection to land and community, and especially using the grain and your grain to defend yourself, they do that too. And there's a little bit about forgiveness in here too, which I'm sure will play a big part in part three if it gets made. What did I take away from this film? Matthew Riley, I don't know, this was a random thought that popped into my head during this. He's a really well-known Australian author. He even had his own Netflix film that he wrote and directed. It was called Interceptor. We did a bonus episode on that one too, but this is the kind of film that he would froth. I just could not stop thinking about Matthew Riley towards the back end. I'd be like, he would love this film. Shout out if Matthew Riley listens. All right, questions, ponderings. Looking at the questions that I had from the first one, I guess, and did they get answered in the second part? I sort of spoke about the princess who could bring animals back to life, and we see that, you know, she gets killed. We didn't really see her in part two, but the last 2 minutes, it gets revealed that she's still alive. So Korra's actually not a murderer, which is interesting. Korra and Gunner, were they going to get together? They sure did. We've already discussed that. Jimmy the Robot, obviously, I wanted to know if he was going to have a bigger part, a bit more. I'm a bit worried about those feelings towards Sam, though. Aris the Soldier, you know, I couldn't remember if he survived. He obviously survived and got really into Sam throughout. Darien and Kai, we both saw them. They were both killed in the first film. Noble survived. They didn't. That was easy. Korra, she's, you know, this happens again in this film. She's ready to sacrifice herself for the whole village. And then Gunner makes the first move again. I mean, they really frustrated me because I was like, is this meant to be a strong female-led film? But again, we get this male that intervenes and stops her from doing what she wanted to do. And then the end. I need to talk about the end. Like, Belisarius is this guy that we see, you know, sort of post-credits in the first film, bring it all together. He's telling, you know, Noble, the villain, what to do, and I need Korra back. And obviously we see through flashbacks that Korra's been trained by him. She looks at him like a father. He betrays her and throws her under the bus. We literally got no update from him. Like, he had the cliffhanger from that first one. As cheesy as it probably would have been, you needed to show him. Like, I don't know. That really annoyed me. Right, I'm ready to wrap it up. Give the film a rating out of 5. For me, I'm not sure if this back end, maybe the back end and this second part, especially the battle, would have worked better if it was all released in one big 4-hour film, because it just felt such a stark difference. And it didn't really add anything, or, you know, any value or any excitement or any further character building. So and that conclusion really annoyed me. I'm giving it a 2 out of 5, mostly for the cool graphics and battle scenes and sequences and stuff like that. We're on socials. We've got Instagram, we've got Facebook, and we've got X, formerly known as Twitter. The question I want to put out there, you know, based on such negative feedback for these films, does Netflix invest further in this series? I think it's going to be a tough call whether they go, yep, or whether Snyder goes, cool, I've got an audience now, a big enough audience that I can go make these myself. I'm not sure. I'm very intrigued to see where we go. That's the question for this episode. As always, we have episodes every Monday that drop. We've got a huge back catalog, 350 plus episodes of Netflix original films. I'm thinking possibly there is a making of Rebel Moon on Netflix, so possibly keep an eye out for a bonus episode on that in the coming week or so. Keen to sort of check that out and get some, you know, background knowledge about all the hard work that obviously went into making these two films. As always, thanks for hanging out, and join us on Monday for our next episode.